How old were you when you guys were homeless?
Let's see, probably 23.
Yeah. Okay. What did your diet and food look like while you were battling addiction? Were you eating good? Were you?
Absolutely horrible. Bavarian cream donut. and plenty of soda.
More like snacky foods rather than meal
snacks,
foods?
Yeah, probably once a day kind of stuff.
Awesome. Okay. So were you employed in this during this time? Were you employed the whole time? Probably not when you were 13.
No, I... school was the main priority. I also did, you know, a lot of legal stuff on the side to... to help my family with bills and different things like that. And I used school as an excuse to kind of continue illegal activity, justifying it. You know, I'm going to school, I'm getting great grades so I can sell drugs and do all this stuff. So no, other than being a student and then a few little blue collar jobs, no.
When did you become employed? Were you employed during college, et cetera?
In high school for a little bit. And then that fell off because of my addiction. And, you know, I'd worked previously when I was younger, like adolescent and stuff. But, you know, once I became a teenager, it was school and, yeah.
Okay. Did you attend any other addiction recovery programs?
Yes. Three.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they failed you and why?
I feel like... they failed me to a certain extent, but I had a lot to do with their failure as well. You know, their program wasn't set up like Next Level is. You know, I went back to the same environment, you know, and expected some miracle to happen. And so, you know, I take accountability in, you know, my part in that equation.
You know. Right. That's really understandable. How would you describe your relationships with your family, significant others, friends during your addiction? Were you...
It was very toxic.
Toxic, yeah. You were in contact with your family pretty much the whole time?
Yeah, most of my family.
They never really, like, disowned you or anything?
No, but, you know... with my father, we lost contact for a couple of years because he lives in another state, so I avoided talking to him altogether.
When you were a teenager, were you living with your mom or your dad because they were divorced?
Mother, yeah, single parent mother, two siblings.
Cool, okay. So what was the darkest point in your addiction?
Darkest point in my addiction... darkest point of my addiction was when I moved fully into using the hardest of drugs, and my friends were dying, and I was going in and out of jail, you know, family suffering from mental health, I felt hopeless, and, you know, I stuck to... kind of like a life of crime, because I believed, now when I look back, it's the only thing that allowed me to have any form of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so darkest point would probably be at least the most memorable part that kind of was like a turning point. What's your next question? Is that your next question?
Yeah, when was your turning point?
So, about... see, 2 years ago, my friend had overdosed in a vehicle that I was in and ended up dying later on. And I went to jail that night and got a bunch of drug charges for the 10th time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to, and I just looked at my situation. My family was homeless, you know, but and it was just dark. It was like, there's no hope, you know, and I realized that that's not what I wanted for my life. Cuz because at that point I didn't have anything. You know, I didn't even have the control over the things that, you know, I used to fuel my idea of what control was for so many years. Mm-hmm. I had nothing.
Yeah. So tell me about your first few weeks at Next Level Recovery.
So my first few weeks at Next Level Recovery, so in order to get into this program, you know, I had to stop taking a lot of the medications that I was on as far as like benzos and stuff. So it was pretty rough going cold turkey mm-hmm. against these guys's judgment, you know, or what they wanted. They wanted me to go to the hospital, but I was like, no, I need this bed. This is what I need. I'm not staying in treatment any longer, inpatient. So my first few weeks kind of looked like getting on a schedule, kind of living on my own in a way, waking up, going to treatment, you know, kind of finding out my environment down here, learning the program that they have at the house, and getting established with the team here.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So what were your initial feelings? Were you hesitant to come into Next Level Recovery? Were you confident?
I wasn't hesitant, but I wasn't confident. Like, it was a situation where I knew that I couldn't go back to my old environment in mm-hmm. Ogden. There was no option. So, feelings aside, this is what had to happen. I wasn't going to go back being homeless. This was my opportunity. So, you know, I was a little anxious, I would say, mm-hmm. but I had nothing else. So, mm-hmm. you know, I put those feelings aside.
That's awesome. So, do you recall when you first began to connect positive influences in your life after starting Next Level Recovery?
You know, people outside my family, I started to connect back with my family because they knew I was doing good, and, you know. And then, you know, a few people at the house over the period of, you know, a few months, I realized that, you know, the people around me were not just in the same boat, but we had a lot of the same things going for us, and I was able to, you know, put my walls down and actually start building some solid friendships. So I would say at least a few months.
Okay, so tell me about a day at the recovery house. What did it look like for you?
Then or now?
Then.
Then. So, one of many is what I was one of many. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of kept my head down. You know, there was a big community there, and I wasn't part of that community yet. Even though I was mentally, emotionally, I hadn't put myself out there yet.
Right.
So I was one of many in a community, and where, you know, a lot was going on. A lot of people were doing a lot of positive things. People are going to work, people are going to treatment, going to school. And I'm kind of just sitting in treatment, not really trying to make friends. So, you know, it was kind of lonely, but it was nice, you know, because it wasn't pressing. You know, in residential or different things, it's pressing. You got to be part of the group. You got to do this. And so it provided a comforting atmosphere in where I could take my own time to start my own healing process.
That's awesome. So how did the environment make you feel at the house, in treatment, all that kind of stuff? Did you feel comfortable?
Yeah, I felt comfortable. It allowed me to get into a system of confidence, because now I had a routine which I controlled and that was benefiting my life. So my self-esteem started to rise again, feeling independent and focused, you know, which were, you know, things that I hadn't had for a long time without relying on something else.
That's great. So did you witness any other success stories? I know we talked about this a little bit, but yeah, you had close friends who made it through recovery pretty well?
Yeah, you know, I have seen success stories, especially where people were at the house. I've seen a lot of people succeed.
That's great to hear. So how confident were you to leave the house?
I still live there.
Okay. Same one?
Same one.
Okay.
Yeah. So how confident am I to leave it?
Yes, I guess.
That
sure.
Works, that works.
Yeah,
right,
I don't.
So.
I just started, so I don't really know everything right. about what you guys are doing. But
no, it's cool.
I'm
it's
trying.
Cool. No, you're good. I just want the right answer for you. I am confident in the way that I'm aware of the danger. So I'm anxious, but it's because I'm confident that I know what's out there and I know what, if I don't live right, can happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like mixed feelings.
Okay. Is there anything specific that stresses you out? Is that like relapsing, meeting people outside of the house,
Kind of. Family stresses me out, because my sister also lives in one of the houses and I take care of her. Mm-hmm. So that's stressful. But, I think it's more fear of the unknown because, mm-hmm. I'm confident that I'm not going to put myself in a situation to use again or be around those type of influences, but it's what I knew for so many years, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm aware that it could happen again. So, I guess I'm worried that I'm not going to maintain the habits that I do, the healthy habits.
Okay. Yeah, that can be hard. Is there anything you feel specifically confident about with leaving? Like, do you feel like you're going to excel in this one area?
My education and my social groups.
Great.
And my recovery, and then just in general, solid.
How do you feel about your support system?
Excellent.
Good. Do you feel like you are better equipped to stay abstinent
mm-hmm.
after leaving?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
So I know you're still in the house. Did you see, a difference in your employment opportunities with having lots of job opportunities, people offering jobs, being able to find jobs more than while you were battling addiction?
Oh, so much more because, I was in a better place and now I'm able to show up for myself. I'm able to look for resources, that I was unaware of before. And so definitely.
That's great. So what do your relationships look like now versus when you were battling addiction?
They're full, complete, equal, or balanced, and there's a future in them.
Good. So what does your home life look like now after going through treatment? And
it's beautiful.
Good.
It's wonderful.
How is your diet and your food now?
Oh, it's so much better.
Good.
So much better.
That's really great to hear. Do you have anything else you feel like you is significant that you want to tell me about? Cool. Well.